Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Olami 613 in Chicago without a live studio audience. Yes, but we're still going to be rocking and rolling. We had a fantastic Shabbos 250, and I see that many of you listened to the Shabbos 250 podcast last week, and it was a spectacular Shabbos with many of our Olami 613 participants plugging in to the beauty and depth and awesomeness and yumminess of Shabbos. And I want to get to that in a moment. And then after a little recap of Shabbos 250, we are going to get ready for Shavuos, which is happening this coming Thursday night, May 21st. Is that cool? Okay, so even before I give the plug at the end that everyone has to plug into Shavuos, so let me do that plug now, and maybe I'll do it again later also. Shavuos is the holiday of the giving of the Torah. It happened 3,338 years ago, which you know because the title of the Monday Motivation podcast this week is Shavuos 3338. I thought if we would do Shabbos 250 last week, then we should do Shavuos 3338 this week, which means that this is our national treasure. This is our national guidebook. This is our national marching orders. This is who we are. This is our identity as the Jewish people. This is what makes us Jews. And so it's good to celebrate that. So for some reason, Shavuos just got short shrift in the American Jewish holiday branding package that was rolled out in the early 1900s. So let's rebrand this, folks. And Thursday night, there is a custom to stay up and learn after a festive meal, to stay up and learn Torah all night. Woohoo! Yes, call in, say that Friday we are not coming to work, and we are going to be learning Torah all night. Well, if you can't do that all night, then maybe at least part of the night, Thursday night, if you make your way to a Jewish community here in West Rogers Park, it is rocking and rolling. You have people walking in the streets on the hour as each class, they have classes every hour on the hour at different synagogues, and it is like the middle of the day at 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m. It is crazy to see all the Jews out learning Torah. That happens this Thursday night, May 21st. The holiday extends Thursday night, Friday, and then Friday into Shabbos. So it is a two-day beautiful holiday, and let's rock and roll and plug into that. If anyone needs any help, please let me know. Now let's go back a little bit to Shabbos 250. So Shabbos 250 was incredible. It was, again, the American government, particularly the President of the United States, as a part of Jewish American History Month, said that all Jews should keep Shabbos. As if it wasn't enough for Hashem Almighty to tell everyone that Jews need to keep Shabbos. But, nevertheless, pretty unique in history. Possibly, quite possibly, the only time the major superpower of the world at the time has called upon Jews to keep a full Shabbos. In fact, in the White House, I saw clips that, at least of the candle lighting, that they had a whole Shabbos in the White House, which is, I think, pretty, pretty awesome. Okay, so now I want to zoom in to the conversation we had on a Friday night. So Friday night, many people who are listening have been to my home for a Friday night. We like to obviously welcome everyone. Part of the way we do that is feeding them. But then we have, after the soup course, we have l'chaims. L'chaims are, you know, a way to introduce yourself, your name, fun fact about yourself, and something you're grateful for. Then we move on to the main course, and sometime in there, when everyone is nice and full, and just everyone is schmoozing away, I stop and I introduce some type of discussion, Dvar Torah. And this week, I decided, how are we going to analyze Shabbos 250? And it dawned on me, I remembered that 200 years ago, there was a raging debate among the rabbis. And the raging debate centered around Napoleon. Now, Napoleon was the great leader who espoused the liberation of the Jews from the ghetto. He was one of the great ones who was into, you know, the original human rights. And he was making his way eastward towards Russia, where he attacked. And it led to a very fascinating debate among the rabbis. Are we pro-Napoleon or pro-Tsar? Are we for the Tsar and against Napoleon? Now, that seems to be, on first glance, a no-brainer. Napoleon, who is bringing freedom, who's bringing choice, who's bringing leaving the ghetto, he's bringing end of persecution, at least that's what is claimed. Yeah, sounds pretty good. Versus the Tsar, which is poverty and being beat up and stuck in the ghetto, and there you have it. So, but nevertheless, we had this discussion. It was back and forth, and I nudged our beautiful young professionals to discuss what are the pros and cons of each. And they did an unbelievable job. Because as much as it seems a no-brainer on one side, it's not a no-brainer. Because as difficult as the Tsar is, it is historically proven that the more the anti-Semites confine us to a ghetto, and they are not nice to us, the more chutzpah, the more resistance it draws up among the Jewish people to cling in a fiery and dedicated way to our Judaism. And that we've seen throughout 2,000 years of exile, is that the more anti-Semitism there is, the more Jews cling to our Jewish identity. And yet on the other hand, in the west of Napoleon, and literally starting late 1700s, but really early 1800s, right around Napoleon's time, you have a wholesale fleeing from Judaism. That this new openness, this quote-unquote emancipation from the ghetto, led to literally the wiping out of many Jewish communities and a large percentage of Jews who were running after themselves to assimilate and to intermarry. And so on the one hand, yes, there are tremendous liberties that Napoleon would bring. But on the other hand, there would be tremendous dangers. And so I was listening to the young professionals volley back and forth which one and why. And everyone came out and said, I'm glad that I have my personal choice. Well, okay, it's good that you have your personal choice. But you, I doubled down and I said, you're the rabbis. You've got to make a decision how to lead the people. What would be the best thing for the Jewish people? And one of the participants, we actually quoted him a few weeks ago as well. I'll give him a shout out, Ethan Sofer. He said something unbelievable. He said, Rabbi, spoke with tremendous clarity. He said, if Judaism is not just a national identity, like French or Italian, but it's a core identity of who we are, and if we have a divine mission, then as difficult as it is with the Tsar, if that is the way that we Jews are going to stay Jews, then that is the better of the choices. And literally, he spoke so beautifully. You could hear a pin drop at the table, and it was unbelievable. It was like a high school debate. Who could actually win a debate that you would vote that the Jews would stay with the Tsar under persecution and not Napoleon under the freedom? Okay, and so the conclusion of the discussion was that this is not a one-off debate. This is literally every moment of a Jew's life today. How much secular influence are we going to bring into our lives? Are we Americans first and Jews as an afterthought? Are we fundamentally Jews and that's who we are and we happen to live in America? That is our question. And based on how we define ourselves and our core identity, that is going to directly impact how we're going to do everything. How we're going to do business, how we're going to, with whom we will socialize, what we will eat, what we will drink, when we will drive our cars, and when will we not. And so there is no greater introduction or segue into Shavuos than this discussion, because Shavuos is the reliving, the celebrating of the Jewish people receiving the Torah on Mount Sinai 3,338 years ago. And we've said many times here that if it weren't for Shavuos, Pesach would not have happened. In other words, the whole goal of Passover was not so that the Jewish people could go out and swim by the Mediterranean. Now, there's nothing wrong with swimming by the Mediterranean. Everyone should enjoy it. Obviously, at a separate male-female beach. Ta-doom, boom. Right. Of course, Rabbi. Yes, Rabbi. We will go to a separate beach. But that's not the goal. That's a nice thing. The goal of the Jewish people is to become God's chosen people. And that happened at Mount Sinai. The entire purpose of us leaving was not that so that we could be victimized slaves who come to rule and then lord over everyone else and then play the victim card through history and don't take responsibility for our own actions because we're a victim. No, we are going to stand at Mount Sinai and we are going to commit to God's Torah. Even though we don't know exactly what's in it, we said, Naaseh v'nishma, Hashem, we're all in. And we took responsibility and we stepped up and we literally had a marriage with the Almighty. That is the symbolism of Mount Sinai. And that is what we are celebrating on Shavuos, is that we became the people of Hashem. We became the people of Hashem by receiving the Torah, by accepting the Torah, and by committing to keeping the Torah. That is the entire purpose of Hashem taking us out of Egypt. And so Shavuos is a big deal. And it's no wonder, and it's tremendously ironic, that the American Jewish community, who suffer from so much Napoleonism, from so much assimilation, how symbolic, how appropriate that Shavuos, the holiday that distinguishes us and our national mission and gives us our moral beacon and our moral guide, is a holiday that is forgotten. How appropriate, how ironic. And so therefore, this is now the time to flip the script and to lean into Shavuos as a way of leaning in to our national identity, our spiritual identity, and our personal identity as a member of the Jewish people. Now, I want to share with you now just literally a demonstration of this idea that the Torah makes us unique with a beautiful Gemara. In Tractate Pesachim, this deals with the tractate of all the issues and ideas and customs and laws and rituals of Passover. And it's a long tractate on page 68b. We have, when they're talking about holidays, okay? And there was really a very special statement by Rav Yosef, who was one of the greatest Talmudic scholars. And it says, Rav Yosef Bayoma de Atzarta. Rav Yosef said on the day of Atzeret, which is Shavuos, Amar, he said, Avdi li igla tilta. He said to his servants, prepare for me a third-born calf. It's it was known to be the tastiest one. And so he would have a huge feast on Shavuos. And the question is, well, why Shavuos of all the holidays? What's so special about it? So Amar Ilo Hayoma de Kagarim Kama Yosefikam okay, if this day had not caused me to learn Torah and become spiritually elevated, Elohai Yoma Dekagarim, right, if it had not caused me to become elevated, Kama Yosef Ika Beshuka, how many Yosefs would there be in the marketplace? I would have been just an average Joe. Says Rav Yosef, if I wouldn't have the Torah, and I would, then I would not be part of the Jewish people, and I wouldn't have the special moral code, and I wouldn't have the special moral responsibility, and I wouldn't have the texts that help elevate myself personally and plug myself in to our national spiritual destiny, being God's chosen people. I would just be another Joe. An average Joe. And so Rav Yosef is saying, Yosef is Joe, by the way. Rav Yosef is saying something very powerful, is that if we want to develop our unique selves, okay, going to the New York Times bestseller list of self-help stuff might be interesting, but fundamentally the way that we develop our character and develop our neshama, our soul, to greater and greater heights is through Torah learning. And that's what makes us special. That is what makes us unique. That is what makes us the Jewish people. And folks, this is why the non-Jews throughout history, and particularly today, do not want the Jewish people learning Torah. They know that the Torah is our secret sauce. And so they want nothing more than for us to assimilate, to Napoleonize, to melt into the great melting pot of America and the world. And now, it's really on us. It's our choice. Will we become just another average Joe walking down the street? Or will we be like Rav Yosef, distinguished and elevated and proud and plugged in and part of the spiritual destiny of humanity, nothing less than the spiritual destiny of humanity? I don't know anything that could be more uplifting. I don't know anything that could be more inspiring. So many people wallow in their condos, in their homes all day. Woe is me. Who am I? I'm nothing special. And with fits of depression and lack of self-esteem. Folks, this is it. Shavuos is the answer. Shavuos says, I am special. I am part of the greatest nation ever to inhabit planet Earth. And I have a moral responsibility that binds me. Yes, there are obligations, but it elevates me. It elevates me to become not only the best person I can be, but to have a life of meaning, of purpose, a life of destiny. A life connected to an unbroken chain of Jews 3,338 years ago, who heard Almighty Hashem speak to the Jewish people on Mount Sinai. And we are the bearers of that legacy. And the only choice is, are we in or are we out? And that only you can choose. So God willing, hopefully this inspired you to plug in to Shavuos this coming Thursday night, May 21st. Find a place to learn. And God willing, you will not be just an average Joe. You will develop your truly unique sense of self as part of the holy and eternal Jewish people. God bless. Have an amazing week and a happy Shavuos. And we look forward to seeing you again right back here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.